I'd like to take this time just to tell you to eat my ass.
Slashers all summer long, and the summer is about to come to an end, Uncle Bill.
Oh, man. But
we have got tonight and one finale next week.
We've got tonight.
We're going to save that for next week, though. Yeah. But Cruel Summer Slashback, guys. Supernatural Slasher Week this week.
This is one that, like, I was looking forward to because – to some degree or another, I like both these movies, and I knew that beforehand. But, this is going to be a different kind of conversation because there's very rarely supernatural slasher combined elements in a movie. But also, though, I was thinking, like, since we're coming to an end of this series, though, I think this might be my favorite series that we do because I just really enjoy slasher films anyway, but, like, just to watch
gives us a reason to watch more.
Yeah. And especially to watch ones we haven't seen too.
I'm with you. And yeah, this is what this is. Essentially, this is our version of the summer book club, but nobody likes to read. Let's be honest. Come on. So watch slasher movies instead of the books. So, but yeah, that's why we let everybody know ahead of time. There's lots of ways to watch both of these movies we're doing tonight. And there'll be lots of ways to watch both the movies that we're doing for the finale. And we're going to hype this up. You know, at some point during the show, we'll talk about it. These are two movies that since almost the inception of Dead Pit that we have always referenced, but never done a review on either one of these ever, Uncle Bill. So This will be a lot of fun. Never have we actually ever went back and rewatched these movies either. So just stay tuned for the announcements on those here a little bit later on the show. But we do have a packed house that's gradually growing. We've been live for about 4 minutes, and we already have 75 people in here. So we appreciate you guys tuning in. A Matter of Pat is on here. He's got some opinions on both of these movies, saying that this week was hard to vote. Because both movies are actually really good rather than which one. He actually voted rather which one sucked the least.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Vanderhoff in here, a fella by the name of I Like the Smell of My Own Shit, is in here. He looks familiar.
I thought he might look familiar, but I wasn't sure.
A Matter of Pat, he likes the Boogeyman more. Speaking of which, I did track this down, and old school fans of the show will appreciate this. Now, this is very old school, right? Check this out, Uncle Bill. Percy Rodriguez in the house.
Percy Rodriguez.
When you were a child, did they warn you about the boogeyman?
You're not going to scare me.
It had its own power.
The boogeyman. Now, the most terrifying nightmare of childhood returns. By the time they believe him, it'll be too late. The boogeyman. Rated R.
God. There you go, man.
Yeah, the way he said that stuff was amazing.
Percy Rodriguez. That is an old school radio spot. How many radio spots do they even make anymore? I don't know.
Yeah, but, never hear that stuff.
Yeah, definitely kicking it off with the boogeyman here in just a second. But we do have a poll up as well for everybody that wants to vote. The boogeyman versus superstition tonight, both early 80s slashers. So vote away. Vanderhoff is in here as well. The mayor, Black Peter, Matthew Hara, Dino's in here. Dino, sorry. Nubbinth, Movie Junkie John.
Yeah.
Mega Man MG 2588, not to be confused with 2589. They're both big supporters of ours. William Cinema, The Witch Hunter, Down is Up 76. The Mississippi Madman is in here. Goblins Inc., Adrian James. Jamiral 81.
Jamiroquai.
Yes. Yes. Justin Marino, MacBoy Color. Edward 5150. Bombastic Reviews is in the house tonight. What's going on, man? From the other side of the state. So welcome everybody. Gory Tiger. Bog Zombie. All you guys, welcome. And it's gonna be a fun show because to my knowledge, I don't think that we have reviewed either of these movies ever on the show. So that's kind of,
I don't think so.
I know in the first year that was kind of our like prerequisite to get on the show. So we haven't stuck strictly by that this year, but this is an episode, and next week's episode, both sets of movies that we have never reviewed before. So we might as well kick it off with I think this is the first variation or version of a horror movie called The Boogeyman. And this one is from 1980. And since then, there's been a variety of different boogeyman movies. So we don't want people to,
and they've all sucked ass. Confused.
There was one just recently that from the Stephen King story, The Boogeyman, that was not very good. And
did you ever see The Boogeyman 2, though, the sequel to this?
The Uli LaMail Boogeyman 2? No.
Yeah.
He had another one called, wasn't it called Return of the Boogeyman?
I don't know. I didn't see that. Return of the Revenge of the Boogeyman.
We don't want to confuse people too much here, but this is Uli LaMail's 1980 Boogeyman movie, and possibly like the best film that he ever did. And that's not really saying a whole lot, though, because the guy later on in his career, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit, but Jesus Christ, I don't know. But anyway, let's get into it. The Boogeyman. Mm. So the movie starts with young Lacey and Willie, who are out spying on their mom, and I think it's their stepdad, kind of going at it. Right, Uncle Bill, they're kind of getting it on, and these little kids are kind of curious. You know, their mother's kind of a drunk hua, and she's wanting to get her some bird. And the man finally notices this and is like, I want to punish the hell out of Willie in particular. It's time to his bed, the little son of a bitch, little dirty-minded bastard. And Lacey doesn't like it, so she's like, well, I'm going to untie him. I want to get a butcher knife and untie Willie. And little does she know, though, that Willie is going to take the butcher knife from her and go and on a murderous rampage and kill their stepdad. And Lacey witnesses all this through a mirror, the murder.
And let me tell you, that mirror is going to come back in this film about 100 times. So, yeah, make note of the mirror angle. for sure.
Exactly. Exactly. And now we fast forward 20 years later, and Lacey has pretty much a regular existence. She's got a son and, you know, pretty much has a regular life. And Willie is the one that's affected the most, of course, by the murders.
Yeah.
And he's a mute and a cosplayer for Henry O. Godwin in this movie.
That's right. Yeah.
And, yeah, just due to the events from years earlier. And I think they get a note from their mother, and they both start having kind of flashbacks to that night when Willie did the murders and everything. And along the way, like, they introduce the mirror thing, what is it, probably halfway into the movie.
Yeah, and like once they introduce it, they double down on the mirror plot point in this movie, and they never stop. And at some point, you're just kind of like, God, this is kind of a little bit silly. But yeah.
Well, the mirror from the opening of the movie is shattered, so that releases ultimately the boogeyman, I guess, which
is the dead ghost, I guess, of the stepfather. Yeah.
And he's invisible, but he's a mouth breather, right?
Right. He really is. He's like Michael Myers.
They're totally influenced by Michael Myers and Halloween with this movie. Now, I will say this, though. This movie has one hell of a vibe to it, man. The music in this is really effective and creepy.
Mm-hmm.
It's cheaply made. You can tell it doesn't have a gigantic budget, but... Man, I thought that this movie overall worked. It's easily the best movie that this guy ever made, that I've seen at least. I mean, I haven't watched all the BTK movies that he did and all that.
The funniest thing about this movie to me when I was rewatching it was, and I was watching, I was thinking to myself, like, this is the most competent, incompetent movie ever. Because on the one hand, it shot incredibly well. And it's got some really interesting, like, scenes and camera work and, like, just really wild death scenes and stuff like that, too, that are just really uncomfortable to watch. But then on the other hand, like, the dialogue and a lot of what happens makes zero sense. So it's like, it's a mixture of, it's almost like an Italian film, really. It's like,
it does
mostly
look like
visual,
that, yeah.
But like, there, none of it makes a goddamn bit of sense, and nobody, like, talking makes any sense in it either. And the fact that towards the end, he really becomes obsessed with the mirror aspect. Like, so to the point where, like, pieces
the
of
mirror,
the mirror
is a gimmick in the movie. Yeah,
yeah, the
much.
Mirror is the gimmick of the movie. Really. Like it, the mirror gets stuck on people's shoes and then,
it
like,
sets
eyes
up the sequel at the end. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there is a, and we found this last year a lot too. There is weird coincidences in both of these movies tonight too. They both have child death.
Yeah.
Like the,
yeah.
And that's not a common thing really in slasher movies from this time period. That was pretty much a big no-no, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's the weirdest part about both these movies too. And I noticed that as well, is they both just in pretty brutal manner too, like both of these movies. So moving forward a little bit with the Boogeyman. So all that stuff happens, and then they, for some reason, I think it's because, like, she sees her psychiatrist and she's telling him about all this stuff, and they decide that, like, she needs to go back to the house where all this shit happens, right? There's people there that are trying to sell the house, and they go there, and, like, the brother and everybody and things like that go back to this childhood house. The brother's mute, by the way. He doesn't say anything until the very end of the movie, which is fucking hilarious when he actually does, like, say something.
And he doesn't ever change his clothes either, which leads to me to believe that he's like one of them stinky fuckers from Bull Creek that smells like sweaty ass.
Yeah. And there's a scene too, like when he's out working in this barn and everything. And none of this makes any sense, by the way, but it's just a lot of it's funny. He's out working in this barn and this woman comes in and she's like, oh,
basically wanting to give him some puth.
She's like, I've been wanting to get with you, Willie. And he just out of nowhere, like, picks her up like fucking Undertaker, just like strangling her. Like this, and she's
maybe
like,
that
oh.
was how like he didn't know any better. He was like trying to choke her like he chokes his dick or something. I don't know.
That was what he was doing. He was simulating.
Oh, God.
Yeah. He's simulating masturbation with her head. Yeah. And then he sees himself in a mirror and he's like, oh, and paints all the mirrors black and all this shit.
Is there anybody in this movie that he went on to do anything? I don't recognize any of these people.
Who's the one guy that's the psychiatrist? He's the only guy I knew. He's been in tons of like horror films and stuff.
Oh, has he?
Shit. He's the guy from, oh, Jesus Christ.
I'll look it up.
He's in The Howling, too.
Okay.
But he's been in like a million older movies, like in the 50s and 60s as well. I cannot think of his name right now. Anyway, he's the only guy I knew from the movie. But
John Carradine.
John Carradine, yeah.
He's not, is he in it a lot though? Maybe he's, I didn't know.
It literally looks like that they got him for maybe like 5 minutes, one day or something like that. So like all his scenes take place in the same spot, and you can tell some of them are cut in with other like parts of the movie that don't make any sense because they just had him and they wanted to like show him. So like he'll say something and then it'll be like, it'll immediately like cut to them like, well, we gotta go, and then they'll be in like a different place like in the next scene. So yeah, they just kind of probably had him for one day.
Nicholas Love played Willie, and the last role that he played was in a movie called Wild at Heart as the man in a wheelchair in 1990. Oh wait, that's a David Lynch movie, Wild at Heart.
What? Yeah.
Okay.
But there is a hilarious.
He did some Twin Peaks episodes too. Interesting.
He is part of a hilarious scene in this movie though, which is the hypnosis scene where like she's laying there and he's hypnotized her and she's going back to her childhood or whatever. And then all of a sudden like that ghost breaks through and the Linda Blair Exorcist voice. And it's like, you stay the fuck away. Something like that. So craziness.
So the Lacey's real name is Susanna Love. Are they related?
I have no idea. I don't know who any of these people are.
Okay.
And nor have I ever seen them in anything except this.
Interesting. Okay. So Susanna Love was actually married to Uli LaMail at this time.
Well, that makes a whole lot of sense. 19...
Okay. I don't know. It's a confusing thing. Maybe it's just a coincidence that they were both Loves. I don't know. But, man, like, I actually was into this movie, like, pretty much from the get-go. Like, it's not a very well-made movie. There's not a whole lot of, like, creative death scenes or anything in it.
I think there is. I think that's actually one of the best. But the thing is, like, they only happen towards the end of the movie. Like, after she breaks the mirror and everything and all that stuff happens, there's a great sequence that makes zero sense, but it's kind of funny in like a B-movie way where like a girl goes upstairs to cut her fucking hair in a mirror, which I've never known anybody to like really do by themselves. But like she decides she's going to go up there and cut her hair with a pair of scissors, and she gets possessed and ends up like stabbing her. First, she cuts her blouse off. That's the funny part. Like, the ghost is like, I want to see some titties before we get going with this.
Right.
So she's like, oh no, cut my shirt off. And then after that, she stabs herself in the neck. But the best part, dude, 100%, I wish you had a clip of this too, because I would show it on here just to see it again, and even if there's a copyright claim. But like, the little kid that's with them or whatever, like, comes up and he's like trying to scare her, and he gets in the windows, hill, and like sticks his head through the window. He's like, the boogeyman. And then the window falls immediately and like fucking breaks his neck. He just dies like right there.
Poor little kids.
Yeah. That whole sequence is just great. But then there's the sequence in the car too. So later on they go to like the house that's beside the beach or whatever. And there's a really cool sequence where like a skewer that they're using to make, like, I guess, like hot dogs and stuff, comes up from the back seat and goes through this guy's back of his head and through his mouth. And then the woman, that's his girlfriend or whatever, is walking to the car, and she gets in to, like, see what's going on. And the car
goes, they make out.
Yeah. And the ghost looks like they're making out or to hit her, and like then she kisses him and gets stabbed through her head too. Yeah. So I think there is some cool like death scenes in this movie, really. Like, and also,
well, they're kind of few and far between though, and like the next,
yeah, they don't happen very much except towards the end. But one of them though, that, and I think it's in this movie, I'm pretty sure. And I was sitting there thinking to myself, I think Friday 13th Part 3 ripped this off, where they go out and find the old man with like the pitchfork through his neck, like hanging from the top of the barn. I mean, it's almost the exact shot from Friday the 13th 3. Like, almost done in the exact same way.
Mm-hmm.
Except this movie was 3 years, you know,
before. Yeah, it's at least a couple years before that. Very cool. Yeah, and like we were saying before, Uli LaMail, like, his career took off when Lionsgate was doing a lot of those direct to, like, DVD horror movies and stuff. And, dude, I don't know if you remember some of the shit that he did. One of the last ones that I remember that he did was the DC Sniper movie with Ken Foree. Yeah,
he did so many of those, man. Like, that was all his later career was, for some reason, was like those true crime serial killers.
Mm-hmm.
I think he probably did at least 8 to 10 of those fucking movies in the early 2000s. Because there was like,
I think he may have done even more. Like, if you look at his catalog, he passed away in like 2017.
Yeah.
And he like was doing shit almost up until he died. Like, so he might have been the original Uwe Boll.
That's what I was thinking too. Here's his filmography from like 2000 on. So he did Zodiac Killer, BTK Killer, Green River Killer, Diary of a Cannibal, The Black Dahlia, Curse of the Zodiac, Killer Nurse, aka Angel of Death, Son of Sam, Dungeon Girl, Night Stalker, DC Sniper. I think that was the last one. But, like, that's at least 10 fucking just of those low-budget, independent-style serial killer movies that he did.
That's insane.
I don't know why he decided to finish his career off that way, but whatever, I guess.
Well, I mean, they were paying him, so it is what it is. But, yeah, man, like, I had seen this movie before, but it had been quite a while, I watched the 4K that Vinegar Syndrome did. Were you impressed with the 4K of this one?
I didn't watch it on 4K. Tubi.
Oh, okay. I thought you had the 4K of this.
I do have the 4K. I just, it would take me forever to find it. So I was just like, fuck it. It's on Tubi. Just
but
like,
you need to alphabetize shit. I'm telling you.
Well, a lot of my stuff right now is like put up. A lot of it's not even out to where I can get to it. So.
Well. We did talk about the matter of Pat. That was on a past episode. Is he talking about the first Power?
No, he's actually talking about the Night Stalker movie. There's a movie called The Night Stalker that he did. Oh,
I thought that one was like based on the Night Stalker or something.
I think it was, wasn't it? Like, wasn't that the...
I don't know.
I don't know if it had Lou Diamond Phillips in it. It might have. Shit. I mean, Lou Diamond Phillips, at that point in his career, probably was doing stuff like
that.
Yeah,
he was doing like Daddy Day Camp or whatever the hell it was, right? Or was that Cuba Gooding Jr.?
That was Cuba Gooding Jr., who also did radio.
That damn radio, boo.
But this, I will say this about this movie. Like, it's a little too long, but it has a great, really fucking weird atmosphere.
It does. Like,
a very surreal, dreamlike atmosphere is the only way I can describe it, like throughout the entire fucking movie. And you're just kind of like, you feel like a little bit on edge watching this movie.
It definitely has an atmosphere to it. Like, and I really dug the music in it and just movies from this era that look like this. Right. And I was tickled with, you know, we talked about Willie. He wears one outfit the entire time, and it is the ring gear from Henry O. Godwin from back
100% in
the mid-90s WWF. That's what he was wearing.
I mean, you're not, it's almost identical. You're not even like exaggerating.
It is. It's exactly the same. Like, yellow t-shirt, some overalls, and even the John Deere hat, I think he has on a couple of zines. But yeah, that is the Boogeyman. And we do have the poll open, Uncle Bill, for people that want to vote. We got 117 people in here, only 57 votes. Right now, the Boogeyman is ahead 53% to Superstition's 47%. So it's very close.
That's fair enough. I mean, I really do think that both these movies are, they're almost the same movie, but just a little bit different plot. But the difference to me is that whereas I think Superstition gets better towards the end, like I think that the Boogeyman falls apart towards the end. Once they fucking start with all the glass shard stuff and the glass shard glowing red and then it being on that little kid's shoe, and that's how the killer gets around. You know what I mean? It's just like, come on. Like
Jackson Jack, I said Daddy Day Camp. That's the sequel, buddy. God.
Yeah. But and the one scene that got me the most though is when it gets lodged in her eyeball, like that big shard of glass, and she's right. Like
she's got superpowers or what?
Yeah, whatever. She melts that one guy's eyeballs or whatever. Like, what the fuck is now? What's going on?
Yeah, but I think like during the beginning of the movie, they didn't emphasize the importance enough on the mirror. Like,
yeah, that's
they
true.
Do show the angle of the guy getting killed through the mirror, but like. Yeah, the mirror aspect of it doesn't really even get brought up at all until like a halfway point in the movie. And then Willie does weird ass shit before then. So,
yeah, Willie's a nut.
I mean, it has issues for sure.
he's really a nut job through the whole movie.
Yeah.
And a lot of his, you don't know what he's doing either because he doesn't speak. So they have no way to really further the plot about what's going on with him and those mirrors. And it's not like that's kind of like explained in any way either. So he just like he sees himself in a mirror and then he wants to paint all the mirrors black. And I guess it's from like his childhood. There's a lot of like shit that you feel like is probably underlying kind of messages in this movie. Like stuff that like, I feel like is probably about child abuse and trauma.
What they should have done that would have worked better is somehow the Boogeyman is inside of the mirror and gets Willie and possesses him there briefly or whatever, and then go from there, right?
Getting Willie with it, yeah.
Yeah, he goes inside of Willie.
I mean, it's hard when you go inside of Willie.
Because he is the Boogeyman, and he's coming to get you.
Get you. That'd have been a killer tagline if they had that at the time.
Are you surprised that WWE never did do a Boogeyman movie with the Boogeyman?
That is kind of surprising. I'm surprised this movie has never been like officially remade, like as it is.
Right. Well, they have made other Boogeyman movies, so I guess.
Yeah, but like fucking movies.
Like, well, there was like mainstream Boogeyman movies in like the early 2000s too. They did a Boogeyman and then a Boogeyman 2. And then Uli LaMail had a Boogeyman 2. And then I'm almost positive they had a Return of the Boogeyman in the 90s.
God.
Maybe we should do like a whole tier show on all the Boogeyman movies.
Every movie named Boogeyman, yeah.
That'd be a fun one.
Oh, so, okay. So it says on here, Boogeyman 2 was filmed in 81, but not released till 83. Then in 2016, there was a Boogeyman Chronicles, which was a series of 8 45-minute episodes.
The Boogeyman Chronicles.
And then Boogeyman Reincarnation.
What about Return of the Boogeyman? I'm not imagining that. Somebody look that up.
I'm sure that's actually a thing.
It's the Return of the Boogeyman. Poor old Percy Rodriguez, they couldn't get him to do the voiceover. He'd probably already passed away. So, but I think that was in the 90s, Return of the Boogeyman.
Boogeyman was a poor man's Papa Shango. It's true.
Boogeyman boog lines.
Boogie lines.
Okay. So, yeah. Very close race, though. The Boogeyman is just slightly ahead. So, I guess it's time to discuss the next movie, Uncle Bill. You excited for it?
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be really interesting because I don't think we've ever talked about this movie in any way.
I'd never seen this movie until just the other night, actually. First time I'd ever seen it, I believe.
So, what an interesting movie, though. 1982's Superstition, which is essentially the story of a witch that was burned at the stake in the 1600s who still inhabits this part of this house and this around this lake, and who is now attacking like all the locals as they start to come around and mess with this abandoned, I think it's abandoned house or church or something like that.
Right.
And two young men are brutally murdered at the beginning of the film, and they think that that's probably one of the best parts of the movie, where one of them's head gets put in a microwave and all this shit. And so the townsfolk are kind of like, listen, like we know all this happened back in the 1600s. We drowned this witch in this poor lake, and now her soul is inhabiting this. But goddamn it, like, we got to send a bunch of people over there to investigate this.
We're going to send a bunch of people to get killed.
Yeah, so a bunch of people are like, all right, we're going to do this. And they go into this house, like, to investigate what the hell's going on. And one by one, they meet horrible demises by this witch creature. Yeah. And in some of the great unknown gore scenes of the 80s are in this movie to me. And some of the most creepy atmosphere mixed with, like, you don't see the witch, really. Like, the dead, you know, reincarnated witch. You just see the hands and the silhouette.
Silhouette shadows, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, this movie is definitely one that seemingly is like lost in the 80s slasher shuffle, that literally nobody references this movie at all. And I don't know how this movie came up, but yeah, this was one that I think Uncle Bill had mentioned it like maybe a year ago, maybe right after the first year of us doing this. So I ended up tracking down it. Scheme Factory has a Blu-ray of it, but I got the Anchor Bay DVD because fuck Scream Factory's at least.
Right.
And I was very, very impressed with this one, man. This has another one that has a great vibe to it, almost from the opening segment of the movie. And I just love movies like this. The setup, I think, was really good for the time frame, too. The killer is basically like the spirit of this old witch that had been put to death in the 1600s or whatever. And the creative death scenes and the gore is pretty amazing. And I'm surprised that it didn't get cut. I don't know what kind of theatrical run this movie had. But there's some great shit in this.
Mm-hmm.
That you mentioned the head explosion in the microwave, which
looks fake at
this point.
Yeah.
But yeah, the guy's pretty much like dismembered at the beginning. There's the scene with the priest and the circular saw becoming dislodged. Yeah,
the buzz saw priest. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So like, within the first 10 minutes of the movie, you have two like spectacular gore scenes. So the two kids are like, they go into this house, which is an abandoned house that I think is on the church's property. I think that's what it was. The old church where all this shit kind of like took place back in the 1600s. And of course it's haunted by the ghosts and all this stuff of the witch. And they go in there, and so the one gets separated from the other one and then comes back to find him. And his head is in like a microwave, and then it just explodes.
And
like
it all looks over the place. It looks so ridiculously fake. Though. They show it for way too long.
Yeah,
like if they would have
quickly
shown it and then it exploded, it would have probably been a little bit more effective. But it was still great.
But then, And another great scene too, the other kid's trying to like get out of the fucking house, and like he's going through the window, and the window like comes down and cuts him in half, and like half of his body falls
half of
out.
His torso falls out. Yeah. And he's like,
it hits
like,
the ground.
Yeah. It's great.
So that's within the first 10 minutes of the movie. So that's kind of gives you an idea. I just think that this has got, if somebody asked me like, what's one of the most underrated like 80s slasher movies that you can think of? And I would be like, this has got to be one of them. It's got to be in the top five of like those kind of movies.
Do you think that there was just so much stuff that came out? Because this was 1982, man. Like there was so much coming out in the early, mid-80s, especially like 81, 82. Why do you think it didn't become like a, and still is pretty much an unknown movie?
When I was watching it, like, I couldn't figure it out. I was like, why is this not as popular as like all these other shitty movies Vinegar Syndrome puts out? That like
the pacing's, you know, really good too. Like yeah. there's not very many slow parts in it.
The only thing I could think of is because it has a real religious aspect and people just weren't, they just didn't do that shit in the '80s. You know what I mean? Like you didn't really like say you liked, or those movies didn't really become that popular unless you're The Exorcist, I guess. But like after The Exorcist, it became, you know, they condemned every movie that had any kind of religious. And this is really like about like a group of religious leaders that kill this witch. And she was a witch. It wasn't like there was a misunderstanding. Right. You know, there's some of those movies, but she was clearly a fucking witch because she's like cursing them and stuff on the.
She was a bitch witch too.
Yeah. She was a cunt back in the day.
Not easy to get along with.
No, but like.
But she inhabits. Then, at the end of the movie too, she inhabits this little girl, right? There's a little innocent little blonde headed girl.
Yep.
And that's what culminates towards the end of the movie. And yeah, they go places that you wouldn't think that they would go. You know, they definitely wouldn't do it now. You wouldn't have thought they would have done it back then.
Yeah, they definitely like go full throttle with a lot of the gore scenes too. But the rest of the film is essentially just like this guy and a couple of like other people like going around this house that's now abandoned. And
you know what I was thinking when I was watching it too, like the look of the movie and the way it's made and everything, it reminds me a lot of Psycho 2, which came out around the same time. That's Did you true, get that yeah. at all?
A little bit now that you're mentioning that, but like yeah. it's a whole hell of a lot better.
Yeah, there's no relation. I mean, at all no. to it. It just reminded me. It reminded me of Psycho 2, and if a Tales from the Dark Side episode had a gigantic budget, and they could do whatever yeah. they wanted.
Yeah, to me, like I could probably more clearly see Tales from the Dark Side with like a better kind of like camera cinematography and stuff. Yeah.
And balls to the wall gore, which is what you have here. But yeah, this is one man that definitely needs some form of an upgrade. I'm sure somebody will do it. I hope and pray it's not Scream Factory. I would love to see, you know, one of these other labels do a proper edition of it. Because yeah, it is one that I think a new audience would definitely latch on to. And I think it could find a whole new audience.
I think so too. Like it's just one of those movies waiting to kind of be rediscovered because it's so much better than a lot of the shit that people praise and like go on about. And you know, these cult films that get released constantly, it's so, so much better. But anyway, so going forward, like they think that there's some sort of a cult kind of thing going on in this house. So they send these people to investigate. They find one of the caretakers who seems like he's kind of like, he knows something, but he doesn't really like want to talk about it. And he's kind of like mentally ill as well. And they just go around and start to investigate this house where they find.
Yeah, he kind of runs around like a big dummy most of the movie.
He does. They find this, or he finds this.
There is a young priest and his family or somebody from the church that decide to freaking move in the house. As well, that was right. not a good idea.
No, and then I can't remember the lead guys. I will say this: the cast of this movie is entirely generic. Fucking forgettable and generic. Yeah, But the main guy, whoever the hell that guy is,
Father Abraham, let's just call him that.
Sure. He finds like the antique silver kind of crucifix that they threw in to kind of keep her spirit contained or whatever. He finds that finally and starts to piece together like through a series of journals about like what happened around that time that are in the house, like what's going on. But by that point, like the thing is already the witch is already loose in the house and killing everybody in like the most gruesome ways. There's a fucking scene in this movie where I was like, Jesus Christ, how has nobody ever thought about that? But they've got like a scene where one of the girls is upstairs in the attic or something, like looking around, and the witch like knocks her down and then takes like a stake, like you would a vampire, and just puts it on her forehead and like fucking pounds the stake into her forehead. Mm-hmm. And it's done really, really well too. There's a lot of that kind of thing in this movie.
The little boy from Bloody Birthday and just one of the guys is in this, and he is the one that is a victim of child death as well.
Yeah.
Like, so you know,
mother,
how
his mother's one that finds him, and she
yeah,
opens the door and his body finds it, falls out like, you much know, Friday like, the 13th style.
Yeah, much like Friday the 13th. Yeah, his body's just like hanging from a door or something.
And he looks like he's what, about 10 or something in this movie?
I was not like, very Jesus, old, man. No. 12 max. He's maximum 12 years old, but yeah.
Yeah.
No.
But the witch, though, is the cool part, because the witch is basically like got pumpkin head fingers, and that's all you really see is like the silhouette, like a Grim Reaper silhouette, and then those hands. And the hands kind of grab people and drag them off and do that. But you hear the voice of the witch, which is basically like an exorcist style.
When this over in the UK, this movie was retitled and released as The Witch, first on video and then in theaters. So it was one of the very, like, I guess it was a big hit on video and they decided to release it afterwards in theaters. Kind of went the opposite way. So I think it may have been more of a hit over in the United Kingdom than it was here in the US, but do you think the name may have heard it? Because the name really doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, the name doesn't really have anything to do with the movie, I don't think. Not that I can like put piece together, but like also, it's a very generic name. Like, I just wouldn't go name anything Superstition. It's just...
Yeah, I want to sing some Stevie Wonder or something whenever I hear that. Yeah.
I mean, they could have named it anything else. It probably would have done somewhat better.
Just name it The Witch, it would have done better. I guarantee it.
Yeah. But there's a couple of hilarious scenes in this though that don't really have to do with gore, but one of my favorites is like the ghost controls the doors and things like that to the house so people can't get in or out, like when she's trying to attack people. So he's trying to get in to save this woman and the main guy, whoever that guy is, and he's got that cross with him.
Father Abraham.
He can't get in the door, so he takes the cross and he fucking hits the door with it. And I swear to God, it blows up like you shot it with like a rocket launcher. Like the door blows open. Like
he taped a shotgun shell to it or something.
It was like that. It was like the phantasm scene. He's like the door just explodes.
It, you know what that thing reminded me of is the fucking artifact that River Phoenix was after in the Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. It looks exactly the same.
It is, yeah. But don't mess with that shit, man, because apparently if that touches you, like, you'll just burst into, like...
You'll be flames. A witch bitch. Yeah, if that one touches you.
I wasn't expecting the ending of it to be as fucking crazy as it was either.
No. That's,
actually, there's two child deaths in this movie. You won't be, like,
right. Yeah.
Real about it.
Yeah. No, they get... They go, the director in this, what was his name? James Roberson. Did he ever do anything else? Because that name doesn't really ring a bell, like as far as directing.
It doesn't with me either. I'm sure that he did, but like, I don't know what the hell it would be.
Stripes, this Red's hat was from Lids, boys, and it was on sale.
Killer.
Yeah, there you go.
somebody was asking, Boggs always asked about the significance of the lake. The only significance of it was that's where she died in the beginning. She falls over into the lake and drowns. And right, I guess that's like
they have her almost like crucified, and then they tear it down, and,
And they throw the cross in there to, I guess, like keep her there, or keep
the power of Christ will compel her to stay in the lake.
Yeah. And then one of the the funny parts is they throw the cross in there and it just starts bubbling like a fucking jacuzzi or something in there. So I'm not sure how effective that was.
Something else, though, since Mark brought this up too, this was one of his discoveries from Anchor Bay. So I didn't, this is an Anchor Bay DVD that I got after the fact, this Superstition. And I think this is one of those covers that they kind of fucked up on. Like, I don't know who made this.
That's a pretty bad cover.
But this does not look like an early 80s slasher movie in any way. And this came out in like 2006 on DVD. So this was around the time frame when we were starting to get some screeners and stuff. So as a matter of fact, they had De La Morte, De La Mora, Cemetery Man. The preview was on this DVD edition. And this one completely escaped me. I had no idea that they did a DVD of this. Until just recently, I got it really, really cheap on eBay. But yeah, this is one of those instances where they pretty much redid a cover, and I think all the other poster art's something like with a silhouette of the witch on it or something. Like, this one probably doesn't have a good poster art, to be honest with you. But yeah, this one really sucked, I thought.
Yeah, you know, that DVD was released in 2006, man.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Which I don't recall it at all. Like, this was peak. Like, they were still kind of in peak mode around 2006. But, yeah.
Yeah, Dark Dial's got a good point. Like, if there is one bad part to this movie, it's that the lead guy is just absolutely boring as hell. You don't remember anything about him. I don't even know what his name is. You could tell me his name right now and I wouldn't know it. Like,
Larry.
I can't remember.
His name's Larry.
Say his name's Larry.
So let's go back and look at the votes here. It looks like Uli LaMail's Boogeyman is going to win, Uncle Bill. It is ahead 55% to Superstition's 45%. Now, is that because did everybody here watch both movies?
Probably not.
Or have
I'd say
you
most
never seen.
Yeah, most people didn't watch Superstition. I'm really upset by that because I don't think that that's accurate. Like, but I mean,
does the DVD have reversible cover? I don't think it does. No, it doesn't.
I feel like some more people should get on there and vote immediately.
But yeah, maybe this was like part of an original cover that they had back in the day because they did include that. I mean, that kind of looks like the text from the movie, the intro of the movie. But, yeah, this is one I'll gladly hang on to and add to the Anchor Bay collection, the library and everything.
Really? Boogeyman is winning. I don't agree with that either.
Well, for those, we didn't showcase this too. This is, they did, on the, this is an awful cover too. Jesus Christ.
This is
like when Vinegar Syndrome was just cranking so much shit out. That they just let anybody and everybody do these damn covers. And this is awful right here. I would have loved if they would have went with this cover here as the, this
anything,
is like the reverse
man.
Cover. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I like both of these, man. Like this is a hard one for me to pick. I did pick Superstition, but I liked both of these a lot.
I mean, I don't have a big problem with Boogeyman. It's just kind of stupid. But, like, Superstition to me is a real, genuinely good horror film that just completely is overlooked. So I hope more people, at least through this show, check it out. Even though it didn't win, which is fucking lame. Whatever. What'd you think about the ending, though? We haven't even talked about that. Like, the ending, I was like, huh.
That I don't think that they needed to do that. But it also was like, God damn, boys, holy shit, you know?
Yeah.
they're hardcore. They ain't pulling no punches with this movie.
No. You kind of have to watch it to get the what we're talking about. If you haven't seen
it. Without giving it away. But yeah, this is one that totally, like, the Boogeyman has had quite a few different releases over the years. I know it was on, you know, Basic Bitch DVD. I think Synapse, or it may have been a foreign release that they were selling, but they had like Blu-rays of it at their table. And it was like a big seller there probably 10, 15 years ago. And, you know, now the Vinegar Syndrome release, which I think is still, they probably still have a ton of copies of those. But, yeah, that one's had plenty of releases. But Superstition, not as much. You know, pretty much a Basic Bitch Blu-ray from Scheme Factory. And that old Anchor Bay DVD has been pretty much it here in the U.S.
The thing about Superstition, too, is it's much harder to find on anything. It's not streaming on anything, like, unless you want to pay for it. I mean, with, like, the Boogeyman, you can watch that on just about anything, but Superstition is a little bit harder to find.
If you've got the real player, you can check out the Boogeyman.
That's true. Here's the funny thing about the Boogeyman, too, though. That movie was actually a huge hit. So on a budget of like $325,000, it made $25 million. So in 1980, that's fucking insane numbers, man.
Well, I mean, ultimately what he was wanting to do with the Boogeyman is do something very similar to Halloween. Like, that's what he was going for there. You could tell from the opening segment of the movie. And they definitely succeeded there. And the timing was right and everything. And
I'm not even positive. Did Superstition have a theatrical release? I guess that it did, but yeah. Okay. Superstition received a brief theatrical release on the West Coast of the United States before being released directly to home video in 1985.
Wow.
Interesting. So I don't think it was a hit at all ever. Like, in any way was this movie ever hit?
Maybe out in theaters very briefly in 82, and mostly wasn't seen until 85. Very interesting. So, Uncle Bill, we have 1 week left of summer.
Right.
And I don't know who came up with this combo of these movies, but I went to you and I said, this should be the finale for the year. Like, I don't think we could have a 1-2 punch combo any better than these two.
No, especially I completely agree.
For people that are fans of the show and have listened to us make fun of these movies for nearly 20 years, or however long it's been. So, what do we got for them next week, Uncle Bill? This is a different era. This is an era we've never touched before in slashers.
Well, you know, we've talked about these movies all throughout the history of this show. And I know that I've watched at least one of them one time.
I think we might have watched both of them. I'm not sure.
All right. Well, then we've watched both of them at least once. But I don't remember anything about either one of them at this point. Because that's 20 years ago, probably at this point. But yeah, next week's show, the finale is going to be the classics. Do you want to know a secret? And Final Stab.
You guys excited about that?
I guess early 2000s slashers.
Yeah, both of these were 2000 and 2001, back-to-back years. You got Chad Allen and Joey Lawrence in Do You Want to Know a Secret? And a bunch of unknown Canadians. And Final Stab.
I love that time period where they just took, like, they were doing Photoshop art on everything, just putting people's heads.
Right. That was a big thing. Yeah. Cause Scream was still kind of fresh in everybody's mind. And yeah. And I think, Do You Want to Know Secret's technically a ripoff of I Know What You Did Last Summer. And then Final Stab is the ripoff of Scream, if I'm not mistaken. But
yeah.
That'll be a fun one, guys. I'm really looking forward to just revisiting these movies because I'm sure they're freaking just as terrible as we remember them being.
Yeah, I'm sure Massacre Video does have a Blu-ray for Final Stab. If you order it now, you probably get it in about 2 years.
Well, you know what I've got is my old school DVD of both.
And there ain't no way that both of them are not on Tubi. I would guarantee you.
Dude, let me tell you something. These are obscure. You know how obscure? I had to take photos of both of these DVDs for this fucking thumbnail art. I couldn't even find high-res thumbnail art.
You took like actual photos?
I took photos of these DVDs.
Oh, shit.
So I don't know. Maybe they're on Tubi. Maybe they're not. They may be on YouTube. But, yeah. So that'll be the finale for Cruel Summer Slashback 2025. And, yeah. I'm actually looking forward to it. I don't know why. Maybe I just love torturing myself.
I am too, man. Like those movies are... I already know what we're getting into. Like, I know they're awful. Like, there's going to be nothing redeeming about either one of those unless it's to make fun of them. So neither one of them are on Tubi. I have no idea how I'm going to watch these then. Hopefully, like, they're on Amazon or something.
Yeah, we can find a way. Somebody can send us some download links or something at high-tech redneck supporters. So we got that. Also, stay tuned. If you guys did not see our good friends over at Tape Rock Video, definitely wanted to give a big shout out to David Graham from Malibu Express Video for this cover art here, boys. Our very first VHS release is the Dead Pit Radio Halloween Horror-Thon way back in 2008. It is going to be available very soon. We're going to try to figure out what we're doing with it exactly. Tape Rock Video, check them out. And again, like I said, David Graham of Malibu Express Video, check him out on Instagram. He is the fellow that did the artwork and stuff. So a couple of different editions of these too, Uncle Bill. This is the limited variant. It's on a green VHS tape.
Hell yeah.
Where's the other one at over here?
Mayor said, I found Do You Want to Know a Secret on YouTube, but it was just a guy from India talking. He's like, hey, you want to know a secret? Let me tell you.
And the orange version as well. So, you know where these are going to be available first, though? Whenever they're available is to the members of Dead Pit on Patreon.com. So, very limited copies. Get on that shit. All right, bulls. I guess that is it. Anything else you got you wanted to mention on here, Uncle Bill?
Nothing I can think of.
Final stab. Do you want to know a secret? It'll be huge. What a way to put the nail in the 2025 Cruel Summer Slashback coffin with those two from a 588 bin back in the day at Walmart, man.
Yep, that is the ultimate 588 Ben classic. So apparently Final Stab is on YouTube, so at least there's that. Do you want to know Secret? It'll be a whole other. I have to get Joey Lawrence to send
it. I shit you not, though. I did have to scan those took a picture of them. Yeah, that's how obscure those fucking movies are. I don't know. Do you want to know a secret? I don't know. I don't know if that ever had another re-release. I don't think even Massacre Video did that one.
What are we going to do on Sundays now, bulls? I don't know. Well, y'all had to figure something out for a while till we think of another.
Jack and shit for a while, probably. But also stay tuned later on this week. It's going to be a massive Dead Pit is Watching that's going to drop where we're trying our best to get through. We've gotten so behind on a lot of these reviews. But, yeah, I don't know how many movies we'll be reviewing, maybe a 10 lot. Or 11, something like that. Yeah. So that's coming up also on Thursday night, the Vinegar Syndrome sale,
the Labor Day sale or
Vinegar Academy Day sale.
Yeah.
We'll be on there with Christian and Garrett for a big,
that's going to be one of the funniest things ever though. If what I think is going to happen happens, it's either one of two things. All right. They're either going to release a 4K of the Vice Academy movies, like a box set that's new, or they're going to say they found like some of those old box sets and
they that's Blu-ray. What they're going to do, because they've already said that they're going to have warehouse fines or something like that drop on.
Yeah. So when they do that, like people are going to like shit their panties and buy all that stuff within like 3 minutes. I don't know why, man. Like those movies are some of the most god awful fucking movies I ever. Get a bunch of Vice Academy movies.
Yeah. But anyway, guys, everybody have a good night. And yeah, perfect truly. Truly nice. Hope everybody has a good week, though, and stay tuned to the original Horror Talk Radio Show. We're over at deadpit.com. I want all these people to click everything they're supposed to click.
You haven't been liking them, you haven't been subscribing to them, you haven't clicked the bell or notification or anything like that.
Folks, why don't you click the like button?
Do you hate us? Do you not want to see us succeed?
Why don't you click the heart button?
Is this something that you have against our particular show?
Why don't you subscribe?
You should click on one of them buttons right now if you want us to continue to breathe greatness into your life.
There's all kinds of wonderful shirts over at shop.deadpit.com. Simply the best horror shirts on TeePublic. There are others, but they all suck. You can get some Dead Pit Radio shirts. You can get Last South on the left, The Hills Have Eyes, Texas Chainsaw. Oh, wait, you can't say Texas Chainsaw. All kinds of shirts, folks. You're going to love them. shop.deadpit.com.
Special thanks goes out to our supporters on Patreon. Do you know what kind of stuff you can get on Patreon, Uncle Bill, starting at only $1 a month?
What's that?
Access to every Dead Pit show since 2005. We got almost 200 fan commentaries that we've done over the decades.
Here's what other fucking Patreons do. They're like, hey, give us money, and then we'll let you see a video early that we're going to release like a fucking week from now, and then that's all we're going to give you. Meanwhile, we have a literal jukebox full of songs, thousands of reviews. I don't even know how many shows are up on there now that we've done over the years.
Hundreds of thousands.
You need to figure this out now and subscribe to us on Patreon and YouTube and Instagram. Help us to 1 million. The road to a million subscribers starts today.
So deadpit on patreon.com. Join today. Tiers start at only $1, but I'd recommend at least the $10 tier.
You can do 50. The stock market's crashing around us, folks, but send us money.